Well, kids, you're dismissed. Well, as you can tell, my voice is a little bit deeper than normal, and but I'm here this morning. I'm so glad that God is with us, because I am going to need His presence more than ever this morning. Actually, the sound guy is going to need it more, because he'll have to be on the mute button real quick. I just wanted to, when Emmett came up and he was talking about the Nerf wars, it was really extraordinary. There was over 30 kids here on Friday night using these things. It was like a war zone. It was an odd feeling of Christmas, Jesus, and guns, and. I was trying to wrap that around in my head, but boy, were the kids having fun. And I'm very appreciative of Emmett and his ministry with that age group, and all the leaders that serve in that age group. It's quite amazing. Well, it's hard to believe that we're officially sort of halfway through our annual journey back to Bethlehem, where the miraculous birth of Jesus would change the world forever. And I don't think that's just a Christmas thing. As a pastor, as a child of God, I believe that is a truth, that His birth changed the world forever, even though it doesn't feel like it at times. This season of Advent that we're in, that's why we called this series of Advent Arrival, because that's really what Advent means. It means arrival. Arrival, that's the specific event the season of Advent leads us to, the moment when Jesus arrived, and with Him all the prophetic hope, all the promises of a Messiah to redeem the people of God happens in this season. And part of His arrival brings to not only the people of His day, but to us, it gives us great cause for joy. And because we've been waiting, people in Jesus' day were waiting so long for the Messiah to come. And we are privileged to be able to look back and to see that arrival, and we look forward to Jesus returning once again. And today we reflect on this great joy and recognize that you and I, that we have a great reason to be filled with joy as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. As the old Christmas song, and by old, I mean this was written in 1719. So this is one of our Christmas songs. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing. It's amazing that we actually sing this song today, written in 1700. And so today, as we consider this joy that comes with Jesus, I've chosen a passage from Luke chapter 2 that describes this interaction between some angels and shepherds. And for context, here's how the passage begins in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in their fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Now, I think that it's understandable in this passage to imagine that if you were in the same place and the same time as these shepherds, and angels just sort of showed up out of nowhere, you would be terrified too. However, in this incredibly tender moment, they speak very tenderly and kindly to the shepherds. They say, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy." And immediately, that great fear that the shepherds must have been feeling in that moment is balanced by good news and great joy. You know, what could this good news be? What would these sort of itinerant shepherds been thinking about or imagining in the presence of this angel, this angelic messenger? And so as we've discussed already in this series, the arrival of Jesus brought with it the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies and the promise about the birth of a Savior, that a promised Messiah who would rescue and would redeem the people of God. And the birth of Jesus was an incredible sign of hope, which we talked about in week one, and that just says simply that God had not forgotten his people or his promises. And so it's clear to us as we look backwards in time and we sort of see, you know, the events unfold to understand that the angels, they're pronouncing the birth of their promised Messiah. And it's this specific fact that was the cause for great joy, a great celebration. In fact, it is the reason why we celebrate today. That's the reason why we spend so much time working through Advent stuff. It's the reason why we gather this afternoon. excuse me. Neve, could you pass me my bottle, please? It's the reason why we celebrate when we come together this afternoon for Christmas Cafe and for the fun and the laughs and the things that we will have. Because it is, Jesus is the good news and the reason for great joy that the angels proclaimed in Luke chapter 2. You know, there was a phrase that used to be pretty popular. We don't use it a whole lot. Well, I shouldn't say I don't use it a lot. You may use it a lot, but you know that phrase, that Christmas phrase, Jesus is the reason for the season? I hated that. I don't know why I hated it so much. To me, I didn't grow up in the church. And so to me, it was one of those classic, cheesy Christian lines, you know, really look good on hats and mugs and bookmarks and banners at churches and things like that. And, you know, but when I was thinking about it and prepping for this, it's a reminder that the true meaning of Christmas is his birth and the celebration of his arrival. And that ought to be sort of the central of all of our hostile festivities. That's not what it is. Our holiday festivities, you know, or at least it should be. It should be part of that. It should be all of that, really. You know, the difficult truth is that Jesus can often get lost in the hustle and bustle of parties and presents and gift wrapping that needs to be done. I have felt that way, you know, myself. You know, it's always such a busy time of year. We love every minute of it, but sometimes in all of that, you know, it's easy to lose sight of why we gather, why we do the things that we do. And I know that I'm not the only one here that feels that. And the holidays are just simply too hectic. You know, it seems like the velocity of time from, I was going to say Thanksgiving, but yeah, maybe our Thanksgiving to New Year's is just such that we need this constant reminder that Jesus is the reason for the season. And it's also a reminder that Christmas is not about the gifts, presents, wish lists or stockings stuffed on the mantle. And let's be honest, you know, Christmas really has become highly commercialized in many parts of the world, not all of the world, but in many parts of the world, with the emphasis on gift giving, consumerism, and holiday decorations. And I'm not saying this because I want to point fingers or things like that, but just to simply recognize that this is the reality of the culture that we're living in. Just another reason that we need to keep front and center why we celebrate. Why do we give gifts? Why do we plan parties? Why do we go out of our way and make others feel seen and feel special? We do all of this because Jesus has already given us the greatest gift of all time. He's given us an eternity of worship. It's going to be the greatest party that's ever been thrown. And Jesus, he saw us in our sin and our need, and he still humbled himself. He still traded his life so that we could have eternal life. He showed up to humanity in a way that no other human ever could have, because he's the reason for the season forever and for all time and for everyone. You know, at the beginning of our time together, I quoted a few lines from Joy to the World, and I just wanted to share them again. Joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. You know, when I read those words again, I was reminded me of the most popular and oft and most quoted Bible verse of all time, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. In these words, in those simple words, that simple verse, we're reminded that the plan was always for the salvation of the world. The good news and great joy of Luke 2:10 was for all the people. These are the people that God so loved. These are all the people that Jesus came for. And the good news is this. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Excuse me. That is the news that we share with others. And when they ask us why we celebrate, why do we do Christmas the way that we do? When they ask why we go to church Christmas Eve, why do we get so emotional during this season? The simple line that we can tell them is the Savior, Christ the Lord, has been born. He has arrived. And out of all the message in this world being shared, all the news that's being streamed on one platform or another, this is the only news that can save, because Jesus is alone the reason for the season. And he is the good news that brings great joy for all the world to hear. And so that's very simply the message, but I want to leave you with one good old-fashioned Christmas story about the joy of Christmas. The writer shares this. It's been a tough year for my family. Whenever my mom looked over at the tree and scattered presents, she would sigh and warn us, there won't be as much for Christmas this year. Try not to be disappointed. Christmas has traditionally been a time for my parents to spoil us. In years past, the presents would pile up and spill out from under the tree, taking over the living room. I had heard the phrase, giving is better than receiving, but thought that whoever had said that must have been out of their mind. Getting presents was the whole point. It was the reason I couldn't get to sleep on Christmas Eve. On Christmas morning, we eagerly waited in the hallway until Dad told us everything was ready. We rushed into the living room and let the wrapping paper fly. We made weak attempts to wait and watch while other family members opened their presents. But as the time passed, we lost our self-control. Here's another one for you, said Mom as she handed me a package. I looked at it, confused. Having spent so much time examining the presents before Christmas, I recognized this one. But it had not been mine. It was my mom's. A new label had been put on it with my name written in my mother's handwriting. Oh, Mom, I can't. I stopped by my mom, my mother's eager, joyful look. A look I could not really understand. Well, let's see what it is, honey. Hurry up and open it. It was a blow dryer. Though this may seem but a simple gift, to me it was so much more. Being an 11-year-old girl, I was stunned. In my world, where receiving outweighed giving by light years, my mom's act of selflessness was incomprehensible. It was a huge act. Tears filled my eyes, and I thought in disbelief how much my mom must love me to give up her Christmas so that I could have a few more presents. I have always remembered that Christmas fondly. It had such an impact on me. As an adult with children in my life whom I adore, I now can understand my mom's actions. I see how she was not giving up her Christmas, as I had thought, but was finding an even greater joy in her Christmas, because giving truly is better than receiving. My mom's simple act meant the world to me. Jesus gave up his life so that we could find ours, so that through him we might find eternal joy and salvation. You know, how might you share that good news with others? How might your family be that example of joy that we receive through Jesus? How might you make sure that Jesus stays in the center of your celebrations because he is the reason for the season? Let's pray together. Jesus, as we celebrate your birth, we are reminded of the great joy that all who witnessed your first moments on earth must have experienced. We are filled with joy this holiday season, just knowing that you have already arrived and that you came to bring us redemption. You came to bring us forgiveness. You came to bring salvation to all. And we are so grateful that you are the good news, a great joy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We invite you to stand as we continue worshiping together.